morning, Chicago, and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We have Shay, we've got Jay Moore, we have you here on this Monday morning. Here's hoping you had a great weekend and a great start to your week as we talk to you about draft week. Not just a week, it's draft week. We are finally here. Thursday, the draft will take place, and Cap, you are part of the draft festivities for ESPN 1000.
Yes, I will be just inside Gate O on Thursday night. I got to do this last year. It's the Ticketmaster stage, right, Jay Moore? And
right,
I will be right inside there, and I have different people come through. Last year I had Jaquan Brisker. It's right by Gate O, as I said, Shay. Thank you for listening. Uh-huh. Jaquan Brisker was with me last year. I had Kyler Gordon with me last year and a number of other people as we broke down the draft and waited for the Bears selection. We don't have far to wait because we're picking one. But then we got pick nine, and that is where stuff could get really, really interesting. Like if they announced, we have a trade. The Arizona Cardinals have traded the fourth pick to the Chicago Bears. Blah, blah, blah. And it's called Ticketmaster Plaza where I will be. Mm-hmm. So I hope if you're going to be out there at Soldier Field, and it should be a great crowd, come by and say hi. We should have some cool celebrities for you to watch.
Looking forward to seeing what the Bears are going to do in the draft. Again, before we get there, free agency has been really impressive by Ryan Poles because this is the plan from the beginning. We're going to level the franchise. For the first time to our memory, Cap, the Bears actually tanked and tried to level it as much as possible, getting rid of salaries, and got to the point that they won three games. From there, they went from 3 to 7 wins. And now you're looking for that leap, looking for the leap again, starting with a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams. We got a chance to speak to The Pivot, the podcast run by Ryan Clark.
Correct. And so there's some audio in there about Caleb Williams, what he's chasing. And it's pretty simple. And if you're a Bears fan and you listen to this and you're not fired up, then you better get your pulse checked.
Yeah, he had a lot of things to say, Caleb Williams, because he's getting ready for the draft on Thursday.
Love L.A. L.A. was great. Now that I want to play at one place for... I dream to just be my best, being number one, being the best in the world, and winning. That's kind of how my life goes. Everything for me is winning, whether I'm playing one of my favorite card games, Monopoly Deal, or whether I'm playing video games, or whether I'm playing, you know, out there at the Coliseum, or maybe in Chicago. So
there it is. Says right. Maybe he's hedging.
He doesn't want to commit.
Yes.
Until the Bears make it official, but he knows where it's going to be, and that's why he's wearing a navy suit on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. But I want to play the other cut that Jay Moore put in there, where he talked. Like, this guy is about one thing. It's championships. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes. I only threw for 240 instead of 340. But guess what? We won. That's all he cares about is winning, period.
Yeah.
And chasing one particular guy.
Yeah. And that is Tom Brady.
Correct.
And so there's no question about that. I mean, you want to be at the top of your game? There's no question about it. Let's listen.
Love L.A. L.A. was great. Now that I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12, I want a place that loves ball. You know, that's all I've heard about Chicago so far, which is exciting for me because L.A. was great, but there is probably double digits of teams here. And so, I mean, it's a lot of... It's a big pool of, you know, so you have to be winning championships. You have to be playoffs every year to have, you know, the fans and things like that show up. And so one thing, you know, if it was Chicago's a place that I've heard that they love ball, which is really exciting for me and something that I'm looking forward to and embracing. Like I said, the fans and community, because it's something that is huge for, I mean, you go to COVID year. I mean, the impact that they have. When they're there and not there is huge. And so, you know, having them there is going to be huge, making those home games real home games and really away games and tough games for, you know, other crowds and other teams and things like that. So, yeah, really excited if that's the place and you know, that's the city to, you know, light up and bring back and revive and make game days and everything really, really fun and enjoyable.
Caleb Williams.
Oh, I mean, if you're a Bears fan and you hear that, Chase, one guy, 12, and they went on to ask him in the pod about, have you met Tom? He said, I haven't. We've texted, and I've written down everything he told me mm-hmm. about football's got me number one. Got to get your rest. It's about football. If this is what you truly want, it's not, all right, I made it. Now I got my money, and I'm good. He's already got his money. Made $10 million in NIL. It's not like there's a tag day for Caleb. He's about one thing, being immortal.
That's it. And by the way, if you're in that position as a leader of men, as a quarterback, you should feel that way. You feel like you want to be able to chase the best or be aligned with the best.
Correct.
Just like his comment about Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the comparisons are there. But let me just, before we hear from Caleb Williams regarding that, Cap, I always think that those comparisons are dangerous. Unless you're the quarterback yourself. If you're Caleb Williams, like, boy, Aaron Rodgers is my guy. If I can replicate some of the big plays he's made and big games that he's won, then that's great. That's a goal. But we have analysts that will look at a skill set of Caleb Williams and say, you know what? He reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. He reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. Well, if he reminds you of the best, you just get saddled with that all the time.
Correct.
Whether it's right or wrong, you get that, right? I don't compare Caleb Williams to Patrick Mahomes. I compare him to him trying to be the best Caleb Williams he could be. Hopefully he can redefine the position. That'd be great to redefine it by having big moments at the quarterback position for the Chicago Bears. Imagine that, by the way. Big moments.
We've never had it in our lifetime.
It's so funny. I don't know if you get this, but I get this from friends and colleagues across the country because everyone's asking, Bears, you're going to get Caleb Williams, huh? And they're always wondering, how come the Bears never had that go-to guy at the quarterback position, that difference maker? And my retort usually is, well, we're defense and running back you. That's all we've been, defense and running back you. We have been built like a Big Ten team for 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years. That's what we've been. Strong defense, get after the quarterback and run the football.
But you know why I think that is? Because those are individual players that can flourish because of their talent. Quarterback has to be supported. And we've never done it. Go back to Rex Grossman. Was he good enough? No. So let's go get Jay Cutler. Did we support Jay? And I'm not the biggest Jay guy. You know that.
Yep.
But did we upgrade the O-line enough? No. Did we get him the top flight receivers? No. Did he have 6 offensive coordinators while he was here? Yes. Awfully hard to keep changing systems and expect it to work out. Okay, let's go get Mitchell Trubisky. Did we support him to the nth degree? Follow the plan that you laid out? I told you this. Ryan Pace told me he's not playing under any circumstances a rookie. Not at all. Oh, 4th game in. Didn't go well. You're starting next week on Monday Night Football against the Vikings, week 5. Really? What happened to the plan? Well, Coach Fox wants to play him. You're the GM. No, he's not playing. So they put him in there. I'm not telling you he would have made it. He didn't. But if you have a plan, stick to the freaking thing. And then we go get Justin Fields. Trade up again. Do we support him to the nth degree? No. Put him in a bad situation. He plays for Pittsburgh now. Finally, I see them putting an infrastructure around this quarterback.
Thanks for watching our show on YouTube and on Twitch. Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, the number one pick for wings, beer, and sports. YouTube.com. Look for the ESPN Chicago channel. That way you can watch all the shows and all the content on ESPN Chicago on our channel, and also the Cap and Jay Hood channel as well. We got our own YouTube channel. After being together all these years, going back to 1977, finally Cap and I have our own YouTube channel, the Cap and Jay Hood YouTube channel.
You weren't even born yet. 1977. They didn't even have YouTube in 1977.
What do you mean? Had my own TV in my room. So some thoughts from Lewis Riddick.
Wow.
It was my tube. That's exactly
YouTube.
Yes, it was. You were not here on Friday, so I do want to address something with you from Lewis Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted you to see this because I want to get your reaction to it.
Okay.
It's just funny. Like, the Bears are doing their own thing, have their own avenue, their own lane. Hey, we like Caleb Williams. We'll do our due diligence with others, but we're going to the top shelf. We're not going to try to willy-nilly this thing. We're not going to try to play politics. We're not trying to play games. Caleb Williams is the guy. Don't worry, right? But Lewis Riddick had this on Twitter. I want to get your reaction. Had a great discussion with a personnel man I trust a few hours ago. Question he had for me is, why isn't Chicago being scrutinized more for seemingly deciding a while ago on the direction that they want to go at quarterback, while Washington is being questioned about their process of gathering intel as we speak before making the definitive decision at quarterback? This is a career-defining slash franchise-altering move for both teams. You must be sure as you can possibly be. The kind of discussion I love, the debate is real. What do you think of the juxtaposition of the Bears and Washington based on what he's saying?
Yeah, it sounds to me like someone desperate to try and prove he's right because he's picked Jaden Daniels to be the top quarterback in the class. The Bears were at J.J. McCarthy's pro day. The Bears were at Jaden Daniels' pro day. Poles did not go to Drake May's pro day, but he sent a bunch of his staff. He was somewhere else that day. And they have watched hours and hours of tape on all of the quarterbacks, Bo Nix and Michael Penix and all the rest of them. They have done a deep dive on every guy. They did not lock in on one guy and not look at the others. They looked at all of it. Throughout the season, Poles was at different games. Oh, he went to the Michigan game. He went to see somebody play over at Northwestern. I think it was Penn State.
Yes.
He did a deep dive on all the top players, quarterback and other. So I don't understand where Lewis is coming from with that.
I mean, you have to do your due diligence, your homework in the draft.
Correct.
You may love Caleb Williams, but you have to make sure that you have other quarterbacks you look at and say, well, what if?
Correct.
Like something in the medical kind of came up like, oh, that's a red flag, or something personal. Oh, that's a red flag. So you got to have choices.
But the funny thing is, and I would love for people to weigh in on this, 312-332-3776, they traded Justin Fields without knowing Caleb's medicals. You have the cut up there. We played it before where he said, I found out they traded Justin and they didn't have my medical, so I knew where their head was at. In Chicago, he's talking about. He said, I was driving in West Hollywood and my phone started blowing up. Oh, they traded Justin? They don't have my medicals? I haven't made my 30 visit yet. And people are like, they really didn't have the medicals then? And they did that because they were moving on from Fields, no matter if it was Caleb or someone else.
Yeah, here it is.
I was in the car. I was driving to a business meeting, and I'm listening to music, bobbing my head. I probably got on Drake.
Oh.
I'm chilling. I'm in West Hollywood area driving to a business meeting, and all I see is my phone explodes, whether it's actual just regular fans or whether it's ESPN, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. And I pick up my phone and it's going off, and I'm trying to figure out what just happened, because it went from just nothing and maybe a couple of texts to just like phone just do-do-do-do-do. I end up calling a couple of people and it's just like, well, we know where their mind and heart is at this instance. Let's prepare, get ready, and handle things, you know, accordingly. And you know, still do our, you know, due diligence on the situation and things like that. But in that moment, it was just like, it was kind of like, wow, because I didn't do my top 30, you know, visit yet. They didn't have my medicals and things like that. So they have it all now, but it's nothing. But it was, you know, and had a good time in my top 30. But yeah, it was interesting right then in that moment, because it was just so unexpected in that instance.
So thoughts there from Caleb Williams. And coming up next, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN and ESPN Chicago. We'll get her thoughts about a column that she wrote with Kevin Warren quotes in it. It's very interesting. Let's talk to Courtney about that coming up next. Cap'n Jay Hood on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I'm the hood Mona Lisa. I'm the hood Mona Lisa.
Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
You have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Poles was given the flexibility and the freedom to take this thing down to the ground floor, down to the studs, to be able to build it back up.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n J Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin is with us, covers the Bears and the NFL for ESPN and ESPN.com, and she's on the hotline.
The CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We are great. Doing awesome, Courtney. Awesome. So you have a very interesting article up on the Bears. You have quotes from Kevin Warren throughout. This is the biggest week in the history of the franchise, short of the day that they won the Super Bowl in New Orleans in 1985-86. So tell me what do you see this week doing for legacy-defining moves for the Chicago Bears?
I mean, it all starts here. You can't really get it wrong. And I think they've put themselves in position to not do that, to get it right, because everything is trending towards Thursday being the obvious answer with Caleb Williams and taking him number one overall. There has not been any wavering on that for the last couple of months. I don't know if you guys saw the Pivot interview the other day that had Caleb as their featured guest. But
oh,
when
yeah.
you hear him talk about the Bears and what's been relayed to him and the comments that have come out, even from hearing from Ryan Poles the last couple of weeks, dating back to when we heard from him at the owners' meetings and conversations I know I've had with him there. Like, it just feels like this has been trending that way, and they're not going to overcomplicate the simple. So there's that, and then what you do at number nine has the chance to also be a franchise-altering move by helping the quarterback, by surrounding him with an elite playmaker who can take this offense from one of the worst to one of the best this season with all the other pieces that the team has put around Caleb Williams in the offense and even on defense during free agency. So it's a week that cements what they've been working towards, because this isn't an overnight process. Really, it's been a three-year process, including the 2 years of a rebuild. And now you finally get to put actions into words and making those moves final and permanent for this team for 2024.
Courtney, there's a number of things that I want to ask you about regarding Kevin Warren, the quotes that you have here on ESPN.com. By the way, you can check it out. Go to the Bears section of ESPN.com and click this article. Regarding the trading of Justin Fields, the quote from Kevin Warren says, "I thought that Poles did a fantastic job. First and foremost, it's one thing to say that you care about players, and then it's another thing to show that you care about players, especially when it's a stressful time." What do you think of Poles' thoughts, or rather Warren's thoughts on Poles and the handling of Fields?
I think it shows you, in peeling back the curtain a little bit, just what that relationship is like, which is the reason that's highlighted in this story. I've covered the NFL for nearly a decade. You don't typically see the team president and general manager work this much together and have such a relationship that is symbiotic for a lot of different respects. Mm-hmm. And I thought the way that he described how he felt Poles handled that process as a general manager, going through, just saying that he saw it was weighing on him. They had had dinner together a couple different times in the weeks leading into the Fields trade, and that the way that the Bears handled that, the way that Poles handled that at the end, just ripping the Band-Aid off. Yeah, you didn't get a great return. Nobody's going to argue that, but I think that Warren views how Poles handled the situation is one that I don't think if he thought he did a bad job on it by any stretch, he'd be making a glowing comment like that about somebody who he works with on a day-to-day basis. And there's a lot that didn't make it into the story that I think shows the context truly behind what that relationship looks like and how much of an influence Kevin Warren has in football operations. I don't know if that was your guys' takeaway from the story, but to me, that was the biggest thing I came away with, just how not normal. That is, Ted Phillips did not have that same sort of approach with football operations when he was in the president's role in Chicago for a long time. But Kevin Warren, as a confidant and as somebody who has that experience with the Rams and football administration, like, he's somebody that Ryan Poles uses as a sounding board, not somebody that, you know, the way that it worked in Minnesota, Kevin Warren and Rick Spielman worked in silos. They worked on their respective parts of the building, and it's very different. It was a completely different situation than how together it feels here, where Warren and Ryan Poles have a relationship where they can bounce ideas off of each other, where it's not just, hey, go work on the stadium, get that built, restructure the front office from a business perspective. No, work on it together, because there's a lot of voices that need to, a lot of things that need to be checked boxes wise and voices that need to be heard in order for these sorts of moves to get approval and for them to get pulled off. And I thought that hearing a little bit more about their relationship and how Pohl says that in everything he does, those two have a conversation was eye opening, because you just don't typically see that around the NFL with the way that these front offices and power structures, frankly, are structured.
In terms of the draft this week, obviously Caleb will go number one, and the whole football universe will be like, wow, the Bears, they really did it. Here we go. Mm-hmm. At number nine, do you see any scenario where the commissioner says, we have a trade, Chicago has traded up from number nine so they can grab either Harrison or Neighbors?
I don't, and I know that I've said this for a couple weeks now, when the talent of the top-end receivers from Harrison Jr. to Neighbors to Rome Odunze is as close as it is, I don't think they have to trade out of nine if Rome Odunze is there. I really don't. And I don't know if you'd want to give up for next year's draft capital, because the team's obviously going to be eyeing. If you're moving up from nine to five or nine to six, they're going to be eyeing a 2025 pick, and it's probably going to be that second rounder that they're going to want from Carolina. Are you willing to part with that? I feel like that's a really tough ask when they have such few draft picks this year to begin with, and that's why I've felt that a trade back is more likely than anything else. And to do it for a receiver when there's a receiver that is as comparable and may as well have been the top receiver taken in any other draft that's not as loaded at the position, I don't think you can justify that. However, if it was Joe Alt, and if Joe Alt was somebody that they've identified as their franchise left tackle, the player that they want to have at that position for a 10-year stretch or more, and the move that they had to make to go get him was to give up the first round, their move from nine to, let's say, five, if he gets past the Chargers, that's probably you'd basically have to get in front of Tennessee at seven. But that's the only scenario in which I could see them giving thought to moving up, because you're not doing it for a defensive prospect, and for the receivers, it really doesn't make much sense when they love Rome Odunze. They've had him in the building, and he's been an incredibly productive player his last two seasons with stats on par with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Courtney Cronin with us here, the writer of the piece. A number one draft pick, new stadium, and how Kevin Warren plans to make the Bears exceptional. That's on ESPN.com. She joins us on ESPN 1000 and on YouTube. And so another quote that stood out to me in the piece, Courtney, was someone we don't hear from, Cap. When was the last time you saw a quote from Karen Murphy, the Bears COO and Executive Vice President of Stadium Development? Here's the quote. There is no wait till next year anymore. She's been with the Bears for 25 years. Warren's first major promotion this offseason was her, Karen Murphy. Everything's about, we're doing it. We're doing it this year. That is a far cry from the past, isn't it, Courtney, when you think about it? The sense of urgency to say, yeah, we got to get this stadium. It's going to be in Chicago or Arlington Heights someplace, but we have to do it. And there's a sense of urgency with this based on your writing.
Yeah, and I think that reflects a thinking inside the building that's different than it has been the last couple of years since they made the change at the position. And it's no knock on the previous, on Ted Phillips or anybody previously there. But one of the things that Karen and I talked about, you can roll your eyes at this if you want to, because I know there are some people who are skeptical out there about what has Kevin Warren done just yet? We've talked about the stadium. We haven't seen any action. In meetings every single day at Halas Hall, He's talking about a championship mindset, which, yeah, I get it. If you haven't felt what that's like, if it feels so far and so foreign, it's going to seem like, yeah, well, why are we talking about this? Let's learn how to crawl before we can walk. But that's not the way that he operates. That's not the way that he operated in Minnesota. Certainly wasn't the way he operated at the Big Ten. And it's sometimes the mindset in Bears staffers that I've talked to, whether it's at the EVP level or people who have, you know, director and below positions inside the building, that you get the mentality of you have to believe it sometimes first before you can see it, before you can actually have tangible results. That's what's being stressed inside Hallis Hall more than anything else. Like, one of his first things he did upon getting to Chicago in some of those meetings with Karen Murphy and some of the other executives was to ask about playoff policies. And you're thinking, okay, why this team hasn't won a playoff game since 2010. Why are they asking about playoff policies? If you want to move away from mediocrity and feeling like, you know, the notion of being a mom and pop shop, which the Bears have gotten, you know, that's been a dig that from people on the outside, that's what they've viewed the Chicago Bears as. You have to start operating in a different way. And I thought that her quote on how this thing needs to get done this year, meaning don't just put off goals towards the future anymore. Like, start like really trying to chip away at these things this year. Does that mean the Bears are going to win a Super Bowl? Does that mean the stadium's going to get built tomorrow? No. But you have to start putting out timelines and making moves that get you closer to goals that aren't knee-jerk reactions than, you know, just hoping that something's going to swing your way, or like taking the easy way out, which, you know, seems like that had been done at points throughout their history, which, you know, this team has not won a Super Bowl in 40 years almost. Like, it's time to obviously respect that history, but to move forward in the modern NFL to where the Bears can become one of those teams that are talked about as leaders in a lot of different spaces, whether it's in the VC side and innovation and what they're doing on the field.
All right, Courtney, we've got three more days, and then what do we have? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Three more sleeps, as I like to say, and then we wake up, and the blank's about to get real. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you. Three more sleeps, honey. Here we go.
Finally.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
The Bulls were eliminated over the weekend. Do you know what a carny is? We'll talk about what a carny is next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
This show, Cap and Jay Hood, is brought to you by the Village of Bolingbrook. Elevate your business at bbolingbrook.com. Cubs split the weekend series with Miami. Ridiculous. Losing yesterday in the finale 6-3. Kyle Hendricks went four innings, allowed four runs on six hits. Struck out five. Drew Smyly gave up two and two in a third inning of relief. Cubs are off today. They get a home series with the Astros starting on Tuesday at Wrigley. White Sox swept away in Philadelphia over the weekend, falling to 3-18 on the season after being outscored 24-7 in a three-game series. Sox start a series with the struggling Twins in Minneapolis tonight. First pitch 6:40 right here on ESPN 1000. And after being eliminated from the play-in Friday, Bulls executive Arturis Karnišovas vowed to make changes to the Bulls this offseason and said he takes full responsibility for missing the playoffs in consecutive seasons.
Jay Moore!
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at The Catman and at IG Jay Hood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10 on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With you until 10 o'clock, then Mike Greenberg comes in at 10, followed by Carmen Yurko at 12. Wadland Sylvie, 2:30 to 6, and the White Sox against the Twins at 6 right here on ESPN 1000. Speaking of the White Sox, now time for the White Sox stat of the day.
You just got to flush on them.
I don't like our team.
I think right now I feel like I'm ready to go to and I'll just start breaking.
Yeah, you never know.
That's how I feel about these ball clubs. Right,
you just got to flush them.
Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye.
You just got to flush them.
Corner Jason Stark from MLB for the White Sox. They have no hitters. They're on pace for 100 hits this season. No hitters on pace to score 50 runs this season. 8 position players, minimum of 20 plate appearances with a batting average south of 200. And 6 position players with an OPS plus of under 40. The Sox are on pace to finish 24-138.
Oh, no! We suck again!
24-138. Wow.
Captain J. Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap, do you know what a carny is?
I do.
Okay. Art Carney is the general manager for the Chicago Bulls. A carny. For those that don't know, a carny is a person who works in a carnival or in that kind of amusement show. Kind of like the person that runs the circus.
Mm-hmm.
A carny.
A carnival worker.
Yes.
A carny.
A carny.
Oh, what does your dad do? He's a carny.
Sometimes, more times than not, that's not a good thing. A carny.
Correct.
Some also would call a carny a carn artist as well. Art Carney runs the Chicago Bulls. And I just love the Bulls. We kind of thought, Cap, okay, you have some momentum coming off the Atlanta game. But give Miami credit. They looked at the film. They cut the Bulls off offensively with their defense, with their heat culture, and just not just beat the Bulls, beat the brakes off the Bulls.
Crushed them, 112-91. Crushed them.
But see, here's the thing that is disappointing about all this. Yeah, the Bulls have been up and down all season. We didn't expect a ton because it's the Bulls. We know what the team is. You look at the personnel. Look at the personnel versus everyone else in the East and in the West, and so you know what the Bulls are. But this carny that took the podium on Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, hey, get that first thing smoking out of Miami. We're going to have a press conference nice and early before noon just to get it out of the way. I want you to listen to Arturis Karnachovas. Now, again, we don't have video for this, so as radio guys, we'll paint the picture. Cap, this guy was reading a statement.
Correct.
He knows, he speaks the language perfectly. He's reading word by word instead of speaking from the heart. Listen to this guy.
Thank you for time and dedication covering our team.
Your time.
I appreciate that. It goes without saying, the conclusion of the season fell short of expectations, regardless of injury status. Any season where we don't end deep into the postseason requires close examination, which has already begun. I can talk about all of our players through a positive lens, but in totality, as a team, we didn't meet expectations. We aren't here for the play-in. It's a team game. And we have to make changes to fix things. I take full responsibility for where we are right now. I know our fans aren't satisfied with where we finished the season, and neither am I. I want to thank our fans for their tireless support and energy throughout the season. We have the best fans in NBA, and we're truly grateful for all of you. In this business, you win or you learn. So while I can be happy with some growth and learning this year, I won't be satisfied until we bring championship to the city of Chicago. That's what I was hired. That's why I'm here. And my mission remains unchanged. I like what Billy has done here for the past 4 years. Billy's someone that you build a program with. He's a very good coach and even a better human being. We established a winning expectation. We defined a profile for the Bulls player, and we put emphasis on player development. It is also on me to facilitate Billy with the resources he needs to build a team that can be successful consistently. The questions I can answer today are questions about the past season. I'm planning on sitting down with the staff for exit interviews. Then I will sit down with Billy, Mark, and our front office to figure out what's next, what worked, what didn't. We will look for ways to improve, and we will address our shortcomings through the draft, trades, and free agency. I take full responsibility, however, and recognizing when changes need to be made, and I believe that time is now.
Many follow-ups out of that. That was his opening statement, 2 minutes and 11 seconds, written word by word, by the way, by the carny. Cap, one of my first follow-ups is, so what was your expectations? It didn't meet expectations. All you've talked about is continuity. What is your expectation for the Bulls, sir, with that roster?
Like, if he would say to you, well, I thought we could do better. What were you watching? Because I watched every second, basically, of every game. And I know many of you out there, Sylvia and I laugh about this, when I'm not going to waste my time. They're not trying to win. Why should I give my time? I watched every second, basically, of every game. There was never a scenario where I thought this team had a chance to make a deep playoff run.
No.
And then when you lose LaVine and Williams and Lonzo Ball, it'll be January. It'll be 3 years since he last played, yet they still think they can get something out of him. God bless them. And your only substantive moves in the offseason were Torrey Craig and Javon Carter? Seriously? I think you have a very good coach. I think he's got his hands tied. He had no chance of being successful with that team. That said, they play hard. They pounded Atlanta Wednesday. No Jimmy Butler on Friday. He's out for several weeks with a knee injury. I thought they had a chance there. They got the ever-living H beaten out of them.
You have one choice, and that's to unplug this team. You talk about change. This is the only choice that you have. Your hands are tied, and you tied your own hands because you're not creative enough to pick a direction. You just stuck with the status quo. That's what Art Carney decided to do, just stick with the status quo. We know that the Bulls are not as good as Boston or the Knicks or the Bucks or the Cavaliers or the Orlando Magic or the Pacers or the 76ers or the Heat, apparently. And I will tell you, 7 times out of 10, the Hawks probably would beat the Bulls. Who knows? Point is that you're just not good enough. And then, thank God you got a Joe Cowley there in the press conference asking the key question about, are you a business first and winning second?
With locally and nationally, the perception the last couple of years is pretty fair to say is you guys, the thought is, are more about the business of basketball instead of being serious about winning basketball, whether that's true or not true. The moves you guys have made or lack thereof doesn't do much to argue that point. How do you change that perception, and how do you defend yourself right now against that perception that it's business first and winning is an afterthought?
I mean, I always think about basketball. You know, I'm thinking about winning, and that's why I'm here. I'm not here to stay in the middle. But I think the formula that we came up 3 years ago, I thought it was working until a couple injuries, and we're going to have to find these answers in this offseason. Obviously, the results are not what we wanted, and I totally get it. And it's on me to figure it out.
Okay, that doesn't answer the question. That's just his perception. How do you get around the perception that you just care about butts and seats at the United Center and not care about winning? That didn't really answer the question.
It did not. It did not.
Here's what I need to know.
The only thing he did was take accountability where it's at.
Sure. But, I mean, that's your job.
Late.
Well, yeah, from the beginning, that's your job.
A little late.
But here's what I need to know. I want to know what put a fire under him to do that Saturday. Is that Michael Reinsdorf saying, I want to meet you? Or is this like, because he's not a moron. He may not be very good at this job, but he understands like there's 8 or 9 teams ahead of him from a personnel standpoint. So I wonder, did Michael Reinsdorf say, what is this? We got bounced again? Yeah, we had the one play-in game. This isn't good enough.
This didn't happen Friday night. There's no question. In my mind, Michael Reinsdorf didn't call him after the game Friday and go, I want to talk to you. No chance. This has been in the works. We're not good enough. Period. And the fact that you haven't traded a human being since August of 2021, you are the epitome of the settlers. You settle for mediocrity because the fan base goes out and supports you. And I think at some point a few weeks ago, when it became obvious, we might eke in as the 9. Guys, no more. It's got to be, first of all, part of this, I think, NBC Sports Chicago's deal is up now.
Yes, it is.
And if they don't get an extension done there, they may have to go out on their own. Jerry may have to take this thing over to Stadium, which is a built-in infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Then they have to sell it themselves, and there's a whole loss of revenue type thing. You better have a really good team then. If you have to go out to and do the sales yourself and don't have a guaranteed check of several million dollars coming in, you better be selling a good product.
All I can tell you is this. You talk about making changes. You have an organization that's not going to get in the tax. They're not getting there, Cap. They're not going to be in the top. They said to get in the tax, they had to be a top four team. They don't have top four talent in the East.
But then they can't improve unless they blow the whole thing up.
They have to be Charlotte. They got to be the Wizards. They have to be the Pistons. They got to be Portland. That's your only goal. That's the only direction that you can go. And I hate that as a fan. I hate it. But this is where you are. So you talk about making a direction, making change. It's going to be a change, but it's going to be even worse than what we've seen.
But they've already met with DeRozan to try and get a deal done. They offered him $40 million a year. So they're not willing to take it all the way to the studs. They're not.
Cap, you're just not going anywhere. You can say that you're going to make change, but what change are you going to make? What significant changes are you going to make to get out of 9th or 10th
in
the East?
I would be stunned if Zach LaVine is on this team. Stunned.
I mean, but it's more than that, though. It's more than that. Zach is not the reason why they're 9th or 10th. Karnašovas and Eversley is the reason why they're 9th and 10th, because they didn't do anything.
Correct.
Ineptitude. Sorry, Carney. Art Karnašovas. The Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day, next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and J-Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Now time for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom and Matt Moore have created an amazing dining experience that you need to try. It's on LaSalle on the north side of the Chicago River with an incredible view. Jay Moore.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Cap, would you paint your nails on Thursday? I'm thinking about painting my nails Thursday morning.
No, I will not, because that's not who I am.
Oh, come on.
No. No. Why would I do that?
Why not?
For what reason?
Because you're such a Caleb lover. You want to paint the nails. Get a little Caleb action.
No. It's not me. I got to be me.
I got to be me. I got to be me.
I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. There's some that want to reach through the radio right now, punch me in the face. Bring a platoon, pack a lunch, take your best shot. I'm okay with that.
He means bring your lawyer.
Did he just dare people to come punch him in the face, Woody? Is that what he just did?
It's time for Caps Punch a Cap Day.
Dude, that'd be a great bit.
Oh, line up across state and lake, and you get a chance to take a shot at David Kaplan. 312. Come on in. Call in. Qualify for a chance to hit Cap in the face.
And that's, I'm okay with that. I don't want everyone to agree with me. That's boring. But paint my nails isn't my thing.
And that's all, folks.
The Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. If you're looking for a great meal, business lunch, a great dinner with the family, got a special occasion, or just the best food around, it's Chicago Cut Steakhouse on LaSalle, on the north side of the Chicago River.
Cap, if you and I were doing a music show, like a music talk show, today the topic would be the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees.
Yes.
That would be our frontline topic. And so the list goes like this. Kool and the Gang is in the Hall of Fame. And you think about them, you think about Mary J. Blige.
Okay, but you said Kool and the Gang. Other than this song, what did they do that I would know?
I mean,
Jay Moore.
It's Ladies Night.
Ladies Night was a big hit for them.
Jungle Boogie, Get Down to It.
Hall of Fame, huh?
Celebration. No, there's no question.
Okay.
The discography is pretty good.
Trust you, I'm not the music maven.
But you've been in the room when Kool and the Gang, when you were recruiting basketball players, Kool and the Gang was on the hi-fi.
Oh, no question.
That's no question about
it. No question.
All right, so who else is in here? See, Mary J. Blige is there as well.
We got Cher. Cher's a Hall of Fame musician.
Yeah, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner. Peter Frampton got in.
Foreigner is a Hall of Fame band.
Okay, so let's talk about Foreigner
Double
for a second.
Double Vision? It's okay.
Well, let me ask you this. Hot-Blooded, Dirty White Boy, Cold as Ice.
Double Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Hall, the very good, then, right?
Yeah. They're like Mark Burley. Yeah. Not a Hall of Famer. Good. Okay, songs.
Are they still doing it, Jay Moore? Is Foreigner still doing acts, like at the casinos?
I think they're still touring. They're doing
some
shows.
Yeah, they're doing some stuff. You know, Like that was that bar in Libertyville that we had our anniversary.
But there's a lot of artists that didn't get in. Mariah Carey didn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny Kravitz didn't get in. Sinead O'Connor didn't get in. Sade didn't get in.
Sade didn't get in yet. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oasis didn't get in. So
Oasis? That's some boat music for you, a little Oasis.
And no question.
So, but I'm very interested in, like, Jimmy Buffett. He's getting in finally this year. I'm more interested in his marketing.
How didn't he get in when he was alive?
I mean, his music, again, an acquired taste, but the marketing of Jimmy Buffett, I just think it's fascinating.
Margaritaville.
There's a fan vote, and then there's a committee that votes, but the fan vote only counts as one vote. So that's why a lot of these artists didn't get in.
Anyone on this list should be kicked off?
No, not necessarily.
I think Cher is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, she was Jay Moore launched somebody out of the Hall of Fame.
When she was younger, she was smoking hot, beautiful. But.
Oh.
Tribe Called Quest is in there as well. Yes. Norman Whitfield.
Yes.
We thank you for listening.
I loved that cartoon as a kid. Johnny Quest is going in the Hall of Fame.
Thanks for calling in and being part of the show. Thank you, Jay Moore. Thank you, Shay. Let's do it tomorrow at 7.
Let's do it, Johnny Quest.
So long, everybody, from Chicago.